This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Lift tickets. They had a good run. But now there's Epic Day Pass. Choose to ski or ride 1 to 7 days and select your resort access to Vail, Park City, and more. All while paying less compared to lift tickets. Sorry, lift tickets. It's time for Epic Day Pass.
And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Yanis Shenaeus. This is our post-match show, just a different type of post-match show because we're going to be looking back at two Fulham victories. We're going to be looking back at the Blackburn match, and then we're also going to be looking back at the victory on Saturday for Fulham against Peterborough. So we have two matches to look at. I haven't had a chance to talk to Yanis about it, so we're going to go in depth and really break down those matches. I know the Blackburn match was a while ago, but I kind of still want to talk about a 7-0 victory. I hope Yanis does. I have a feeling he will. On top of that, we have a couple bonus topics that I hope to get to. One involves the Fabio Carvalho situation. The other one is kind of interesting that I want to get Yanis' thoughts on. It, believe it or not, involves Slavisa Jokanović and a YouTube channel called Chef United actually doing an episode, Slav In or Slav Out. I find it interesting. I commented on that on their YouTube channel in the comment section, and we're going to talk about that as well. But enough of talking about Slav, talking about other things. Let's talk about Fulham. Yanis, are you ready to talk about – let's go and talk about the Blackburn victory. We're going to talk about both matches, and this was a shock to me. This was, again, I haven't really talked about this yet because I started a new job last week and really didn't have a chance to do – a show during the week. So this is my first time talking about this victory. Just give me your overall thoughts. I know it was almost a week ago of this 7-0 victory for Fulham.
Well, it was a bit of a shocker. I don't think any of us sort of predicted it. I mean, Ewood Park on a Wednesday night, Lancashire, long journey up. We hadn't had the happiest of times when we'd gone up northwest. And I mean, we got off to a quick start. We were two goals up. And then I think, I mean, the wheels, the Van Heck getting sent off.
Yep.
You know, the wheel sort of came off. And then in the second half, we went for the jugular. And, you know, I think it's been coming for a while that we were going to hammer a team. But one of the last teams I'd have expected is Blackburn because, you know, they've been decent. You know, they lost Adam Armstrong to Southampton, but they, you know, Ben Brereton Diaz has done super, and I think Tony Mowbray's done a decent job up there. But if you'd said to me before the game, you know, we score seven, Mitra only scores one, Muniz comes on, scores a couple. Cabana gets a couple, so does Wilson. I'd have laughed at you. It was a shocker. But it's proof positive. You know, sometimes you win games and you're not as good as you think you are. And sometimes it's a false storm. I mean, Peterborough was 72 hours late, and that was going to be a much tougher game. But still in disbelief that we scored seven against Blackburn. But as is the Championship, they rebounded on Saturday and got a win. So
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the Championship, Giannis. And going into talking about when we talk about later the Peterborough match, I mean, Peterborough had given up a ton of goals. And then you have the situation that we had on Saturday, which is fascinating. It just shows how difficult it is to beat any opponent. Even if you're coming off of a 7-0 victory and you're feeling good about yourself, you still have to beat the opponent. Fulham found a way to win, and that's the rewarding part. And we'll talk about that in the second half of the show. But let's, again, just focus on Blackburn. And let's just start from the beginning, because Giannis, Fulham are so good from the beginning of matches. And to score two goals the way that they did to really get Fulham going sets everything up. We'll talk about the turning point of the match. I think you're going to agree with me that it was the red card. I don't think you can go anywhere but that being the turning point. But they still scored two goals to start the match. And again, you've talked a lot about Bobby Decadovary. We're going to obviously focus on Cabano's goal, but you don't have Cabano's goal without Bobby Decadovary. And he basically got past a former Fulham player to do it, Teo Eden, I believe. So let's talk about the opening goal here.
Brilliant goal. Absolutely brilliant goal, because it looked like he was calling a little bit of skill, and he's taking it right to the byline. And Neeskens Cabana, who I would argue, apart from Mitro, is probably the first player on the team sheet.
I agree.
He's just been absolutely magnificent. And he did what all good strikers do. He hit it first time. He didn't think twice. But Kaminski had no chance. And we're 6 minutes into the game on the road, and it's the perfect start. And Blackburn really didn't recover from that. They just looked disjointed. They looked discombobulated, which is, for Tony Mowbray's side, you don't often see. So it was a great start. But as I said, Bobby Reid really made that with that run and just cutting it back. So we're one up. And then before you know it, Mitro did his thing again.
Absolutely. And that leads us to talk about Mitro's goal. And it's funny, Giannis, because I've seen him score all different types of goals. It's actually, I think, very rewarding to watch Fulham have so much success off of set pieces, especially off of corners. And he is just lethal in the air. And there's been a lot of criticism to Mowbray and Blackburn. How do you have someone that short covering Mitro? I totally agree with that. But that shouldn't take away from the goal here, Giannis.
Yeah, and it's not so much the header. The header was incredible because it was a thumper, but it was the run. I mean, this is the thing, you know, look at the Peterborough game. You know, Darren Ferguson was moaning about how you let a striker of, you know, Mitro's caliber get a free header from 4 yards out. It's not so much from 4 yards out. It's the movement. It's where his movement has really, really improved. And the move he made to meet that header, the way he did, was absolutely superb. And I mean, you could hear the thud of his head as he timed it beautifully. Kaminski, again, you know, he's the 20 minutes in, they're two goals down. Kaminski's not done it. He's not done anything wrong. He's made a couple of good saves.
That's right.
Before that. And Mowbray's probably thinking, oh, God, you know, like, what on earth is happening? It was a fantastic goal. Mitro's doing things that you know, I mean, there's so many improvements to his game. I just think a lot of it is to do with he's got a lot more confidence. He's fitter. I still believe he's lost some weight, and I think he's just grown into that. You know, he's grown up over the year, and I think part of it as well is you know the fact that he's got pride, and the way he was treated last year, he believes was shoddy, and he's come back with vengeance. And I don't think Scott Parker helped himself by turning around and saying, "Well, Dominic Solanke is the best striker in the division." Solanke's having a very good. I think he's a good striker.
He's very good, honestly. He's very good.
But he's not a Mitro. Mitro's scoring goals for absolute fun. And that header was just a bullet. And then so you're two goals up, and you're going, oh crumbs, let's get something before half time. And then Van Heek decides he wants to try and decapitate Harry Wilson, and then they were down at 10 men.
That's right, Giannis, and that to me is the turning point of this match. And I've had people tell me they've seen situations like this. I can't remember the last time I've seen a player do something like this. You know, again, it's funny. I was watching a video and they were talking about, and again, it was a Blackburn video, talking about comparing it to the Karate Kid. And it's just, it's funny. I've never seen anything quite like it. I'm just curious what he was thinking at the time, the Blackburn player, because this, again, Fulham up 2-0, and anything can happen when you're up two goals. You know, the other team, if whoever scores the next goal, we know. But you get the red card, the game is not over, but it's changed dramatically. It's going to be very difficult for Blackburn at this point, near impossible, and that turned out to be the case, Giannis.
Yeah, it was a lot, and I have a modicum of sympathy for Van Heek because he's not that kind of player, and I think he got betwixt and between the sort of challenge he was going to make, and he got caught right in the worst possible way. And it looked a lot worse than I think it was. I don't think the ref had any option but to send him off. It was just an odd event. I don't think there was malice. I just think the timing and a change of decision. Hey, that can happen all the time.
Right.
But he put his team behind the eight ball. And by that time, you know, it's a quarter of an hour till half time. And you know that at half time, Mark was going, look, we're two goals up and 10 men here. We're going to have some real fun and games. And once Van Heek was sent off, they had no chance of coming back. And the lads showed their ruthlessness in terms of capitalizing on an advantage. And but they had some fortune, I think. I think, you know, 7-0 on the night, maybe, but we're not seven goals better than Blackburn, and we know that.
No, I don't think anyone would say that, Giannis. No, I think it's just one of those matches, you know, like you've said several times, other fans have said to me that we're just going to take someone, really, we're just going to take someone out big time. We're going to run up the score on someone. And it turned out to be Blackburn, but the situation presented itself. And I'm glad that you mentioned this because we're going to go to the second half. And Fulham, you know, again, I wouldn't say cruised in the first half, but they didn't build on the lead. I don't know what if Silva said something to them at halftime, but again, Fulham were ruthless in the second half. And I don't know if you want to give credit to Mowbray or take away some praise on him just in general, because he sent out his team to try to stay in the match and didn't sit back. And maybe that opened things up a little bit for Fulham. He wasn't playing for, I guess you could say, a moral victory or trying to keep the score down. He was actually trying to stay in the game. So, but that led to Fulham having opportunities. And back to back, my friend, let's talk about Harry Wilson's goals here, because he put his arm up. You have the situation with Mitro getting the ball to him, you know, and again, it's just two beautiful goals. Let's talk about both situations for Harry Wilson.
Well, I mean, Mitro was involved in setting up both goals.
The first goal
was a beautiful cross-field ball, and he's taken it with pace and he's driven it, you know, bottom right of the keeper. It's a good goal. And then the second one was even better because he's drawn the defenders and he's curled it beautifully around Kaminski. And really, Kaminski really can't be blamed for any of the seven. I mean, these were good goals. And Wilson is a very, very tricky player because his innate ability, not just to come in from the right, but do it at pace. He reminds me of Damien Duff. And with Damien Duff, you knew exactly which foot he was going to end up with. And it was, you'd say, well, you know, this is how you're going to mark him. But the problem is you've got to stop him. You know, it's right. One thing trying to mark a player out of a game, but they only need one moment. And Peterborough found that out on Saturday. There were two superb goals. And so we're an hour in and we're four goals up.
Right.
And you're thinking, this is a little bit weird. I mean, it's great, but it's a bit weird that we're four goals up on Blackburn. But as we were to find out, we had more fun and games in the way.
We did, my friend, and that's going to lead to the fifth goal from Niskanen Cabano. Now, this is a deflection, let's be honest. But again, here's a player that's taking advantage of his opportunities, scores another goal. And again, this is not a bad goal from Niskanen Cabano. Like I said, it was a deflection, but now you're up 5-0, Giannis. What was going through your brain when this went in?
Well, Martha Silva's talked about the importance of wanting all the strikers to support Mitro, and not just in terms of setting up goals, but scoring goals and chipping in. And he said the same thing about the midfield. So when you look back on the game, you say, okay, well, Mitro scored 1 of 7, but you've got the two wingers, Wilson and Cabana, getting 4 goals between them. And I think that's really important, because they're going to look at Mitro's 20 goals and say, well, okay, right, we know we're going to do what Peterborough did on Saturday, which is basically double mark it. But right. you've got dangers on either side as well. And what I think Silva's looking to do, he's really looking for not just his wingers, but also the midfielders to chip in with goals. He thinks that is going to be really, really important, because then teams just can't hunt 1 or 2 or even 3 players. You've got to look at half a dozen players that are dangerous. And that was the big thing for me, is that the Cabano and Wilson got a couple each, because
that's right.
It really makes it's difficult to plan against playing that way, just because, you know, you can say you're going to do one thing, but you do another. What we've shown this season on this run is that we just need moments. It's just that moment.
That's right, Yanis. That's a great way to put it.
And defensively, we, you know, teams can look pretty solid, but then there's just one, you know, there's just one thing.
But good teams do this, Yanis. Good teams, yes, all it takes is a moment.
Yeah, I think the goal that Mitro, the back pass from Snodgrass against West Brom, I mean, it's come from nothing, but it's a moment. It's, you know, Snodgrass is extremely experienced player, and only he'll know why he played that back pass to Sam Johnson. But it's just, you seize on those moments. And I think that once the third goal went in, when the first Wilson goal went in, you could tell that they were smelling, they were smelling blood. And this was going to turn out to be a little ugly. And Cabana scores his second. And now you're looking at 5-0.
And at that point, Yanis, it's funny, because I'm thinking, okay, enough is enough. Okay, let's just finish this off. And you can look at this two ways. Is it piling on, or are they just basically saying, stop us? Stop us. If you don't want the goals to come in, stop us. And they could not stop them. So how can you really blame Fulham for scoring a couple more goals? And of course, you bring on a striker that is looking to score, who's hungry.
Yeah.
And this to me is, again, a great sign for Fulham, because we're talking about Mitro, and I've heard all the talk. What happens if he gets injured? Well, you have a striker here who's hungry. We still don't know exactly what we have yet in Rodrigo Muniz. But Yanis, both of these goals, I think, are fantastic finishes. And these are positive signs, because, again, I don't know, you know, there's been talk about, can you play him together? Do you have him come in at certain times for Mitro? I think this kid is up for the challenge, my friend. These two goals show me talent.
Yeah, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens in the January transfer window, because something that I was thinking about the other day, I'm wondering if there are teams out there who are going to look at Mitro and go, you know, it's a difficult time of the year to sign players, and if you want to buy good players, you're going to pay a premium. But I'm wondering if the club might be tempted by a bid. Because
I don't know, Yanis.
Well, Mitro, right now, the way that Mitro is playing and the number of goals he scored, there are teams out there, I can guarantee you, that are looking very closely at him. It could be in England, but it could be in Europe. And then it begs the question, what is someone like Mitrovic worth right now? And he's at least doubled his value this year.
Absolutely, Yanis. Absolutely.
What happens if somebody comes and says, right, we're going to offer you 40, 45, 50 million, something like that, because right now he's in the form of his life for us, but he's in the form of his life for Serbia, and he has been for the last couple of years. So then no player is ever off the market. And it does, Muniz playing is important, because we know we've got wingers that can score. Muniz has been given limited opportunities, but as he showed, especially that second goal, that header was absolutely superb. He can score too. It's the depth we're going to need, but the more that Mitro scores goals and the more success he's having, the more
the value goes up. Yeah,
he's opening eyes to other. And there are the our clubs are on guarantee right now looking at him and going, okay, well, this guy's 20 goals and 16 in 16 games, that's or 17 games, that's just crazy.
But Giannis, and I understand what you're saying, because you could probably get big money, maybe double what you thought you could get from Mitro. But I'll throw this back at you. What's more valuable to you? Is it the money you could get from Mitro or getting promotion to the Premier League? Because that money's a lot more. So you take him out of the mix, you might give yourself probably a less of a chance of getting automatic promotion. So you have to weigh that. If you're asking me, you don't do it. But again, it could be silly money that you might have to at least take a look at it.
Yeah.
But I think his value is, believe it or not, higher to Fulham with him than without him.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, obviously, the players love him, the club love him, the supporters love him.
There's a lot of value that goes beyond the goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I just never discount the silly money bit, because it's a January window. There are teams
I agree with you.
The Premier League that right now would kill to have a Mitro.
Oh, totally agree.
And one of them, funnily enough, would be Newcastle. I mean, they really, if you look at this, that side, well, Callum Wilson, we know his effectiveness. The problem is he's a walking injury note. He knows the Newcastle set up. They've now got funded by billionaires. We know that. And they do have the money. And now they've got, Eddie Howe coming in. So they've got a manager pedigree. And, you look at the amount of money that Southampton paid for Adam Armstrong.
Right.
It's going to be very interesting to see if anybody. I think he's playing so well right now that the teams are going to look and say, well, if we want to be in a certain position at a certain time, is it worth, are we going to put in an offer that maybe they can't refuse? January's transfer window is daft, because you just don't know how desperate teams are. It'd be interesting to see. Obviously, I hope we keep it. But, I wouldn't discount anything at this rate.
Okay, and that's a valid point there, Giannis, because teams are going to come in with silly money. You'd be silly not to at least listen. You have to listen, because any player, like you said, there's a price for any player. I'm just saying you have to weigh losing the player with the money, and is that more important than what he means to you? And that's what you have to weigh. But as the money goes up, that decision gets harder and harder. I totally agree with you on that, my friend. Totally agree with you. Real quick, man of the match. Who's your man of the match for this?
I think it was Naiskins. I just think, I mean, he just tore an absolute strip out of them. I mean, I thought Wilson was excellent as well. It was, I show a little bit of love. I'm going to show a little bit of love to I mean, he wouldn't get man of the match. Hector coming in, Tosin being absent through suspension. Difficult for a player to do, but I thought he had a pretty good game as well. But Cabana, he just ripped the shreds out of Blackburn. They couldn't deal with his pace or his change of pace, his crossing ability, dribbling. I think they had Nyambe at right back, and Lennon was trying to back him, and it wasn't working for either of them. They just couldn't stop him. So for me, it was... Naiskins.
Excellent. Okay, Giannis, to go back to our conversation about Mitro, this is from Wayne Walden. Hi, Russ. Mitro is king of Fulham, and we love him at the Cotch. This is all true. This is absolutely true. You could see a player and a supporter base just basically loving each other. And he does love the club. There's no doubt on that. But I think where Giannis is going, it's more to do with a club. It's like, what do you do if someone comes in for a silly bid? You know how much Mitro loves the club, but you also have to consider the business of Fulham Football Club, what's most important. That's why it's an interesting topic from Giannis, because if someone's going to throw money, silly money at you, I think you have to listen, but then you have to weigh everything that goes along with it. But to Wayne's point, Giannis, the club, and of course the supporters love Mitro, and he loves them.
Yeah, he's a firm favourite for sure. I mean, as I said, it's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, assuming we get promoted, we could look like a really good side with
absolutely
rejuvenated Mitro. I just wouldn't discount, teams in the Premier League or leagues around Europe, or even, you know, somebody still in Europa League or Europa Conference or Champions League that might say, well, this guy has scored more goals than anyone else in the top two divisions of any league in Europe. And therefore, you know, you've got to look at it and say, geez, this guy's he's on course to break records that, you know, are crazy to think could be broken. So, you know, I think I still think that under the radar there'll be a couple of bids, but I'm curious to see what will happen. Should be interesting.
Okay. Here's from Sean Kennedy. Sally Mitro, interesting talking point. Not going to happen. Not this season anyway. I think Sean will end up being right, but I think the club should listen if the offers are crazy. I think you have to listen, but that doesn't mean that you have to act on it. You just have to weigh what's most important to Fulham Football Club. You need to put Fulham Football Club first. I've said this time and time again. And one of the ways you do that is that you have to look at all avenues to better yourself and what's best for Fulham Football Club. Would it be selling Mitro at a crazy amount, or would it be holding on to Mitro and helping you get promoted to the Premier League and let him do what he's doing now in the Championship in the Premier League under Silva? A lot of interesting things. I'm glad that Giannis has brought this to the table. It's something that we're going to have to follow. Thank you, Giannis. All right. Coming up next, we have some interesting topics for the middle of the show. And at the end of the show, we're going to talk about the other victory for Fulham. Yes, against Peterborough.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Lift tickets. They had a good run. But now there's Epic Day Pass. Choose to ski or ride 1 to 7 days and select your resort access to Vail, Park City, and more. All while paying less compared to lift tickets. Sorry, lift tickets. It's time for Epic Day Pass.
When traders tell us how to make thinkorswim even better, we listen. They asked for a version they could access anywhere, no download necessary. We heard them. And when they asked to execute a preset trade strategy in seconds, we said absolutely. Feedback like this inspired us to build thinkorswim web, and it continues to push us, so our entire suite of platforms never stops getting better. Because platforms this innovative aren't just made for traders, they're made by them. Thinkorswim by TD Ameritrade.
Okay, Giannis, last week there was an article out basically saying that Fabio Carvalho turned down an improved contract from Fulham. What are your thoughts about the ongoing situation with Fabio Carvalho? We've talked about him on the show. It's a tough one for Fulham. It's a tough one for Fabio. It's a tough one for everyone involved because it's the last year of his deal. So that's why we're having this conversation. Your thoughts on everything going on with Fabio Carvalho?
Well, he came back from his COVID thing and the injury that he had. I mean, we don't want it to be a distraction. You know, I'm very much of the opinion if he's decided he's going to leave, and I've been hearing rumors that Liverpool might want to put a bid in or whatever they want to do, then really why should it be around why should he be in the lineup? The argument against, of course, is that if he's available and he could help you get promotion, then you might as well utilize him.
That's my argument.
Yeah, it does leave us a sour taste in the mouth, though, because of the players that slip through the cracks at academy, and then it raises the question as to whether we should have an academy, knowing that at the end of the day we're going to have these players basically stolen by other clubs. I think it's a distraction. I think Marco Silva's got an interesting dilemma. I think if he's made it abundantly clear to the club that he has no intentions of signing, I wouldn't play him another minute. I wouldn't even utilise him, because I think we've got enough strength in depth, and I think we could always get one or two low knees or whatever at the January deadline that make our squad even deeper. If, however, he's sitting on the fence, I know he's getting a new agent in January.
That's right.
Then play him as much as you can, but the problem, of course, is he has to get into the lineup. And right now, with Tom Kearney back from injury, you've got Reed and Seri in there. Seri's looked a little bit off colour last couple of games. But you've got very good players in there. You've got Chaloba that's going to
come back.
Come back in. You got Josh Arnold. I don't think King is, reading between the lines, King is not doing so well at the club, but there's enough depth there so that Fabio Carvalho has got to bide his time. And you know, if you look at, you know, take the Peterborough game where you're playing Bobby Reid playing in front of Seri and
that's right.
And Reid, you know, now you've got to fight to get time. Nobody's entitled, has a manifest destiny to start every game. I mean, it's the way it is. As long as it's not a distraction. If he doesn't want to play, just sit and park him in the under-23s. If he's dithering or doddering, you know, see what you can do. I think the kid's only 18. His head's been turned.
That's right. That's what I think is going on here, Giannis.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I just don't want it to be a distraction. I think Marco Silva's smart enough to realize that if it does become a distraction, don't just eliminate that distraction so that the players in the squad that want to be here put the effort in and put the work in and get the results so that we make the top two and get promoted back to Premier League.
It's an interesting dilemma, Giannis. And like I said, can you blame the player? Can you blame the club? Or is this just the situation at hand because it went to his final season? And like we've already heard, again, there are reports out there that he's changing agents and he can't officially do that until, I believe, January. So that has also caused some of the issues. We're hearing that he turned something down, but again, I think we're going to have to wait until January. Yeah. And my argument on the other side of this is he's a good player. As long as he's not a distraction, why not get the most out of him? But I will say this, and I said this to you before, if it gets to the point where either he becomes a distraction or you know he's not going to re-sign with you, then you need to go to plan B, which would be selling him in January.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. So, but here's the thing. Fabio is going to have to fight his way into playing right now because there are so many players in front of him right now. I still see his value. I see what he can offer. There's a part of me that wants to see him play. In fact, I do want to see him play. I'll just stress that. As long as he is not a distraction to the club, and just does his job, I can live with a situation that it is at hand, Giannis. But if it becomes a problem, then you need to get rid of him. But again, I don't think we're there yet. So this will be an ongoing situation. We'll have to be following with Fabio Carvalho. And I think it's going to take us to January. And then I think things will all flush itself out. I do hope he stays with Fulham. I do hope he signs with Fulham on a long-term deal. I think that'd be great, but only time will tell. And we're just going to have to watch it. Okay there, my friend. All right. Let me just see. Let's see if we have any comments on it. Let's see. Here's a comment from Colton Wright. Some blame must be on the club. This is becoming a pattern. Do you blame the club on this, Giannis, for the Fabio situation?
I think it's a combination of all three. And I think it goes back to the director of, you know, director of football, scouting, whatever. You have to have a hierarchy there. You got a bunch of players there that are professionals, you know, and they want to play at a certain level. And of course, you know, you play to pay the bills. And we've known about the situation for a while. So why has the club been dithering? And there's a reason I blocked Tony Khan, because I don't want to hear any more from him. I don't want to see any more of his AEW thing, because I think he's a big part of this.
Okay.
I don't give a flying stuff about his wrestling. If we lose another player, I mean, we lost Roberts, obviously, a few years ago, but Harvey Elliott is still one that stings.
Yeah.
And if we lose Carvalho, that would be an even bigger sting. And, you know, whether it's procrastination or just the process is wrong, we can't afford to lose good young players if we have the chance of actually, you know, signing them up. So I think it's probably everybody's at fault. I hope it gets resolved.
So do I.
But he's going to be a good player. And I think at some point you have to review it and say, look, we've got this academy that we develop, you know, under 18s are very, very successful and 16s too. But why are we losing these players? What are we doing wrong? Why are we not being proactive in terms of signing them? Are we giving them the opportunities to make the first team? You know, you look at last year when we got promoted, sorry, and the number of loanees that we brought in and the number of young players that couldn't get an opportunity. And that's the sort of thing you want players to come through the system that know the Fulham way.
Exactly.
You imagine playing for X amount of years and then, you get players coming in.
There should be a path. There should be a clear path from the academy to the first team, a feeder system on a consistent basis, Giannis.
That's the way it should be. But instead, we end up signing players like Ivan Caballero, who honestly, if he starts another game for Marco Silva, I'm rioting. Forget the Fulham fans. I mean, and it's funny. You look at the six wins on the trot. He's not been part of it. That's no accident. I know he's injured. You don't want anybody to get injured,
right?
We're a different team without him, because you can target him. I actually think he's not. I don't think he's a striker. I think he's a fullback. Actually, I think he'd be a good stay-at-home fullback. He's big. He's strong. He's got his first touch. He's decent. I think as a reliable fullback, a right back, I think he'd do a good job. But as a striker, you're not getting. And this last year, Scott had this compulsion to play him, and then Mark at the start of the season.
Same thing.
And how does he get back in now when you've got Hector, Mitro, and Naiskins up front? There's just no way. There's no way. There's not.
No.
He shouldn't even be in the 18, because you look at the bench and you go, well, who are you going to bench? Like, you need defenders, you need midfielders, you need strikers, and you need a goalie with seven spots. So it'd be a waste of a it's a waste of a spot if he's even in the 18.
Okay.
So, but anyway, just me blabbering on that.
Not a problem, my friend. Okay, final topic before we head on talking about the Peterborough victory. And this is something that I found interesting. It was on YouTube. I actually got a word about it, and I was fascinated by the topic. It's on the YouTube channel Chef United Way, and I actually commented on it as Cottage Talk. So you could see my comment. The episode is called Slav In or Slav Out. Now, I find this fascinating, and I'm not going to pretend to tell you that I've watched a lot of matches from Sheffield United. I haven't, and I see the results, and the results are not great. But I have seen a history with Slavisa Jokanovic to know that he's a very good manager. And I know that he came into a situation, Giannis, that was not his own players. Okay, they were Wilder's players. And if I remember, in our first season with Slavisa, he came in at a very difficult time. They still weren't his players. He kept us in the division, and then he built his team next season. So Slavisa comes in, and I think it might take him a while to get his players to play his style. I say you got to have patience with him. I'm just surprised. I guess I shouldn't be, that Sheffield United supporters are having this conversation. To the credit of the host of this podcast, they both said they are Slavin, but people are talking about it, so they felt a need to do a video on this. Your thoughts, Giannis, on the topic Slav In or Slav Out?
I think it's ridiculous, really. I mean, obviously Slava took over from Chris Wilder, and they have struggled. We know this sort of expansive footy that Slava likes to promote. But if you took a look, I mean, their last game, Sheffield United lost 3-1 at Blackburn on Saturday.
They did.
If you take a look at their lineup from Saturday, I think there's only probably two players from that 11 that I'd keep. I'd keep Olsen in net, and I still think that Ryan Brewster has something left. If you look at that back four, Basham, Egan, Stevens, they got smashed in the Premier League. Norwood was great for us, but he's past it. Fleck, nah, not happening. Gibbs White, overrated. Osborne, Sharp, no. They're not a good side. And these are Wilder's players.
That's right.
So for me, he needs three transfer windows to turn this round. And I know there's always the assumption of, okay, you get the parachute payments and what have you. They're not a very good side. They were poor last year. And Chris Wilder was, and he did great things at Sheffield United. I think he did decent things, but only to a point. But some of his signings have been questionable. And you can't make a chicken salad out of chicken muck. And they're a chicken muck side.
Absolutely, Giannis. If you really look at their team, and I'm glad that you were naming the players.
Yeah.
What Slavisa and Sheffield United need to do is they need to clear out the rot. They need to get rid of the rot because it was heading downwards. And when you go with the same team or a similar team than you had in your last season in the Premier League, well, it was trending in the wrong direction and they probably needed a change. Well, they brought in Slavisa, but if you're going to bring in Slavisa, a completely different type of coach from Wilder, you have to give him players that will play his style. And I don't think, you know, again, I'm not watching. I don't know. I'm asking the question. All I do know is that I believe in Slavisa Jokanović. And if you give him a chance and you give him time and you're patient, he will turn Sheffield United around. I truly believe that.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to get relegated or anything like that. I just,
no.
You know, they might be on the periphery, but I just think they're a muck side.
Look at Fulham first season. We almost got relegated. He kept us out from being relegated, and look what happened after that.
Exactly. He needs a really, really good transfer window. He can pick up a couple of players in January, but he needs a really strong transfer window in the summer and get some good players that are going to establish his identity. Right now, you know, Sheffield United have fantastic support wherever they go around the country and at home, but it's not a good side. I understand the frustration with Sheffield United fans.
Yeah, I do too. I get it.
But it's not to do with Slava. It's to do with the rubbish they've got. It's the rubbish they've got. They're not a very good side. Now, of course, we've not played them yet, and we'd be so Fulhamish if we were to lose to them. But I still just, you know, to me, they're just a plodding. I've seen them a few times. They're a plodding side, and that's not Slava's way. And he just
no, it's not.
He hasn't got the horses. So for me, it's Slava in, and I know that for all of us, or most of us, we'd hope that he succeeds there because, you know, the job he did with us.
Absolutely. And I'll say this to any Sheffield United supporter that watches this. I want Slavisa Jokanović to succeed. I love him at Fulham, and I want him to do well for you. I truly mean that. I want him to do well for you because of what he did for Fulham. He's a great coach. Give him a chance. Stick by him. Get him his players, and you're going to see the results that you want. You're not seeing them now, and that is part of the problem is the last regime, which is call what it is. Nothing against Wilder, but when you ask a manager like Jokanović to use his players, it just isn't going to work the way it should. And that's what I think you're seeing. I think it's ridiculous, but it's Slavin for me. And I'm just going to share this as a comment from Darkwing 009. Sheffield United only 7 points off playoffs. Fulham were worse off with Jokanović at this time of the season. Okay, interesting comment. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I'll trust you on that. Okay, my friend, let's now look at the Peterborough match. Now, what's interesting about this, when we talk about this, it's fascinating because Fulham are coming off of this 7-0 victory, Giannis. And as a supporter, I'm thinking to myself, well, they should still be able to handle this team. You know, they should still be able to score multiple goals. I actually predicted 3-1. And then when you look at how many goals that Peterborough have given up, you're thinking, okay, they're going to give up a few goals. But football doesn't work that way. Teams prepare to beat the other team. And even though I don't like all the words from Darren Ferguson after the match, he set up his team well to defend against Fulham and beat them on the counter. I want to give him credit for that. But Fulham did enough, Giannis. Good teams find ways to win. Fulham are a very good team. Dare I say they're the best team in the championship? I know, obviously, they're not in first. But I think when everything plays itself out, they will be. That's just my opinion. But I just got to tell you, it's a weird thing to say. Are you more happy with the 1-0 victory against Peterborough or more happy with a 7-0 victory against Blackburn? This one? I'm more happy about this one, Giannis. It showed me character.
Yeah. I've got two very good friends that live in Peterborough, and they're both season ticket holders. So, you know, there's always a lot of banter going back and forth about them, about, you know, the upcoming games, obviously, they just got promoted from League One. And the thing that I got from them was that Peterborough are a good side at home. They tend to play a bit more expansive at home. They're difficult to break down. They're very comfortable at home. And that's why teams are finding it very hard. I mean, I watched when Peterborough played West Brom, and West Brom won it in the last minute. And I thought Peterborough were very, very unlucky. So I knew it was going to be a difficult game. And I think they would have been a little bit more buoyed because of the fact that we were taking so many fans up there as well. It's not a local.
4,000, Giannis. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's fantastic support. It's less than an hour away from London. And they're a team near the bottom, but this is the reason why they get promoted. It's like when, you know, you go to the Premier League, you don't get to go to the Premier League to get the chance to play Burnley. Nobody cares. But you get the chance to play, you know, Liverpool, Chelsea, City, Arsenal, Tottenham, whatever. And for Peterborough, playing a team like us is a sort of, you know, it's like the cup final. And they, I thought, played very well. I mean, I thought we got off to a good start.
Yep.
I thought the field was a little bit bobbly. But they adapted very well. And, we took some time to get into it. And they had chances. And it was a very good test. But sometimes we run a bit, we fall a little flat on our faces. A couple of years ago, you know, lest I mention again, the Barnsley.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know, bearing in mind that, Reading, lower middle table, beat us at the Cottage, Blackpool, newly promoted, you know, beat us up in the Northwest. We haven't played Barnsley yet. We've not played Derby yet. But, you know, these teams are going to give us a hard time. And it was a good game. It was a good win because we had to really, really tough it out. Because on the whole, I thought Peterborough did a really good job of nullifying our threat.
Absolutely, Giannis. And again, that's why I kept putting up the graphic. Major credit to Peterborough because Darren Ferguson, his players, executed well. They stopped us. And that, to me, is not an easy thing to do. You could say putting everyone behind the ball is easy. I think you have to work very hard. And I thought eventually they would tire out. Maybe they did in the end. But they hung in there for a good period of time. And credit to them, they created some very good opportunities, my friend. And this is when I have to get your thoughts on Marek Rodak, especially. Well, I could talk about overall, but this is just in the first half. You know, again, you could say that they're saves that he should make, but he's making these saves, Giannis. He's showing me confidence. And honestly, he came up big throughout the match. He was my man of the match, by the way.
Yeah, he was superb. That save of Clark Harris was absolutely brilliant. And he's been... you think Gazzaniga came in at the start of the season and, you know, he's obviously worked hard and he's been patient. Something that Marco and the coaching staff saw where they thought, right, the time was right. Forget the League Cup. But to bring him in and we won six straight. And, it's not the saves you make, it's when you make the saves. And
that's right.
That save off Clark Harris was absolute mint money, anything you want to put it, because that preserved our win. And I think it's brilliant. And it's important for him because, you know, he was discarded again. Obviously, we lose Tosin. But he strikes me as a very quiet leader. The defenders tend to trust him. The team trusts him. They're playing hard for him. Our goal difference is fantastic, but I think as pleasing is the fact that we're keeping clean sheets, which I think is great. Peterborough probably felt they could have got a goal, but you know what? That's why you've got the keepers that you do.
That's right.
And Rodak certainly earned his money, and good for him. And deserved man of the match. That one save was magnificent, and it was timely, and it kept the 3 points in the bag.
It saved the victory.
Yes, it did.
It did. It absolutely did, Giannis. And as we continue to talk about the first half, and I don't think this is a statement that is not valid. It was a bad first half for Fulham. It really was. You know, and again, like, they started off fairly well, but to Peterborough's credit, I think they were comfortable in defense, and they grew into the match, and they were the better side as we got towards the end of the first half. But I have to talk to you about this, and I know that you definitely love Dennis Odoi, and Dennis Odoi has been such a just a basically just a great, I guess you could say, utility player, or just someone that you could count on.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. He might not play all the time, but he is someone that you can count on. He can play multiple positions. You can count on Dennis Odoi. But here's the thing, Giannis. When he's getting beat, you need to do what Marco Silva did to start the second half and take him off. Plus, he was very fortunate not to get another yellow card, in my opinion. But let's talk a little bit about Odoi and Tete coming on for him. And, you know, Dembele was just giving him nightmares. That's what started the first yellow. And then, of course, there was another opportunity where he could have gotten a second yellow. He did not. And there are going to be these matches where Dennis can be a very good fullback for Fulham. And then there are going to be these matches where he might be overmatched. This is one of them, Giannis. He was overmatched in this match. And I want to give credit to Marco Silva for making the change to Kenny Tete.
Yeah, I thought Dembele was excellent for them. I thought he was excellent for them. He was certainly their best player. And you know what? Mr. Odoi, I think he's been superb since Tete went down. And he's proved his worth because since, you know, the few games that Tete has been fit, he's not been able to get in the lineup, and Odoi's done the job. I think the problem with Dennis Peterborough was he got frustrated. Dembele was stripping him every single time, and he probably didn't feel like he was getting enough cover. And he was, you know, maybe a little fortunate to get to the second yellow. And to be fair to Marco, I think that's what good coaching is about. It's if a player's not having a good day, or you think they're going off the boil, you look to make a substitution. It's not. I don't think it's so much a reflection of Odoi. He's up against a tricky little winger who's having the better of the first half, and Odoi was, you know, one challenge away from getting sent off, which would have changed the complexion of the game. And he's got a ready-made right back there in Tete.
That's right.
Yeah, very, very good substitution. It was a quality substitution. And I don't think Dennis Odoi is going to sit there and moan and groan about being subbed. I think he knew he was not having one of those days. It wasn't happening for him, and that's fine. So Tete came on, which was great.
Yep.
And, you know, substitutions as a coach is often about, in amateur soccer, you can, you know, sub players in and out, and they can go back in and out, what have you. But at professional level, it's about the feel of the game and the momentum of the game and when you make your subs and how you do it. And, you know, I was watching the Man City Man United game on the weekend, and there was the talk that Pep didn't make any substitutions against United. But Pep would probably say to you, well, why did I need to? Because we were so in control of the game.
That's right.
I'm not going to bring a sub on just a time waste a minute into injury time when we're two goals up and they've had more shots on their own net than they ever had on ours.
That's right.
This was a different one. Marco sensed that there was momentum there, and at halftime he made the change. And the same way as when he brought Tom Kearney on, Sarri had not had the greatest afternoon.
Nope.
And he felt that a change was needed, just to change the momentum. And he brought Kearney on, and that's not a crime. I don't think Sarri had the worst game ever, but
no.
it wasn't happening for him. And I think good management involves that. Just it's sensing the momentum and sensing how players are playing, because not everybody's going to be playing at the top level. And it wasn't long after Kearney gets brought on, that we were about 10 minutes out, I think, and then Mitro got the goal.
Right, and then Mitro gets the goal. But I do want to mention this, Giannis, and it's just not fortune, but it's just such a good thing that Fulham have the option to bring on Tom Kearney. Yeah. And I think Tom Kearney really changed the match, because he, as others have said to me, calmed the team down, and it looked more of a team in control, and he was making the key passes, and he was moving Fulham around.
Yeah.
Tom Kearney made a difference in this match. He has a role, whether it's starting, whether it's coming off the bench. It's just great to have Tom Kearney back, and I just wanted to say that.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, later on, again, I said this, Giannis. I truly believe this. I don't think I'm just saying this. That goal was coming from Fulham. I said this on Full Time. I truly believe that Fulham had done enough to earn that goal. And they get the goal, a nice cross from Niskanen Cabano, who's everywhere, making an impact in so many of these matches. But it's Mitro again. And can you really fault the goalkeeper here? No, because the cross was good and the goal was even better.
I think it's one of the best goals we've scored this year. Because I think, and Dan Ferguson's a better manager than he was as a player. Unbelievably, he actually got a Premier League medal with Man United. Don't talk to Roy Keane about that. He's still pissed off about that. But I thought it was an absolutely brilliant goal, because Peterborough had defended our front three very, very well. And if you look at the build-up, Cabano's basically, he's got two players in front of him and he stopped the ball. And it's like, it's almost like he was, slow dribble, stop. And he's lulled the defenders. But it just took a little turn of pace. And the beauty, the reason Ferguson would have been so pissed off wasn't the fact that it was 4 yards out. It was the fact that his defenders got lulled into sleep for Cabana to make that first step to the left.
That's right.
Allowed Mitra to make that little run inside. It was brilliantly done, because it was absolute perfect sucker punch. Because it looked like he was just standing there, well, is he going to dribble? Is he going to stumble? Da, 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 da. And meanwhile, it's lulling them. It lulled and lulled, and then all of a sudden, bang.
Boom. Yeah.
And that run, that was the goal of a striker in the absolute form of his life. That it just took a little movement. It wasn't a lot. And I think that's probably the frustration with Ferguson, because Ferguson's like, bloody hell, for 74 minutes we stopped this bugger. And, and then all of a sudden, bang, it's in the back of the net.
Right. You know what it reminded me, Giannis, a couple seasons ago with Mitro? Do you remember at Deepdale?
Yes.
Mitro's goal to end the match? Remember yes. that?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, he's a striker. And this goes back to this whole situation with him last season. I agree. I think he looks fitter. I think he really looks lean. But I do think that there was something going on last season. I just don't think he fit into Scott Parker, what he wants to do. It just didn't work. But it certainly works under Marco Silva. And I also want to give credit to Silva, because I think that he's putting him in situations to succeed and working on his game. And I think they've all already talked about it. I've heard some talk that they've been working on getting him into these situations, and maybe that is why you saw the situation in some of the matches where he's scoring goals when he really shouldn't be scoring goals. He's just anticipating. And there seems to be a lot of that. He is in the right place at the right time and just scoring extra goals, but he's a striker in form, my friend.
Yeah, and I think this is where I think a lot of credit goes not just to Marco Silva but to the coaching team. I look at, obviously the knives have been out for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ole at the wheel at United, but we know that Ole doesn't run training sessions. So if things are going wrong when they go out in the field and look as disjointed as, let's say, they did against United,
right?
Then you've really got to look at the coaching staff there. What are they doing in the training sessions, and what are they doing in terms of the individual work to improve the players? Because when I watched that game on the weekend, it felt like men against boys, because the Man United looked disorganized. They didn't look like they knew what their role was. It was every time City, it was pass and move, and everybody seemed to know what they were doing. If you look at Mitro, you can really see, not just in terms of the weight and the fitness, but where he has really improved his game. And I think part of that obviously is the self-motivation thing, but it's the work that's been done on the training field, and it's the coaching staff that have done that. I mean, that have sat down and said, okay, because I think good players will look back. And they could, I mean, he could turn around and say, well, I didn't have a good season last year. I didn't get to play a lot. And at some point, a coach will say, no, look, you may have had differences with the previous coach, and we can understand that. And the team may not have been very good, and you're playing, much higher caliber football. But at some point, you are partially responsible for what went wrong. And it could be one thing, it could be a number of things. So once you recognize that there are weaknesses or the areas of strength that you can develop, and you've got coaches that believe in you, coaching staff got to keep reiterating things.
Right.
And not just about, it's not just about scoring goals. That the cross to Wilson against Blackburn was absolutely sublime.
Absolutely.
40-yard pass cross field. We weren't seeing this before this year.
No.
He's changed as a player. The amount of assists he's got this year, his passing ability is really improving. And for me, doesn't get enough recognition. His first touch has improved, but his passing and his recognition of the field and options of the ball has really improved. And that comes from coaching. And that's where I think that the Fulham coaching staff deserve a lot of credit. And this is
absolutely, yes. I don't think we're talking enough about the coaching staff.
No. And I look at, you know, you look at the firings we were saying before, you know, Daniel Farker, you know, Neil Warnock.
Yep.
The Farker one still certainly mystifies me. The Warnock one, I think, is disgusting because they fired him on the morning off and said, this is your last game. They brought Wilder in, but, you know, I think that's classless. Dean Smith, okay, they've lost 18 games this season. They've lost five on the spin, but Dean Smith's done a good job.
He has.
And you lose a player for 100 million. And remember, it's not Dean Smith that signed the players. It was Christian Perslow.
That's right.
So for me,
why isn't he taking some of the brunt of this, Giannis?
Well, that's usually the way it is now. I think even professionals at the top of the game need coaching, and they need sometimes reminders, and sometimes they need development in certain areas that, you know, where there are areas that can be, you know, areas of weakness. So the coaching staff, I think, have helped to transform Mitro into the player he is. That run off the ball, I mean, it's such a thing of beauty, the whole move. And I ask everybody to just check what Cabano did.
Oh.
And check what Mitro did. And Ferguson, I understand his annoyance, but sometimes you've got to go, wow, that came out of nowhere. And quality teams do that.
Exactly. That's what this goes back to, Giannis, is that this isn't by accident.
No,
this victory is not by accident.
No.
The goals from Mitro are not by accident. It's a combination of the players and the coaching staff. And I'm going to say this again. I'm glad that you brought this up. Marco Silva, Boa Morte, the entire coaching staff, getting the most out of their players. And I'm going to share this because, again, it's something that I totally agree with. This is from Darkwing 009. 100% agree. The coaching has improved BDR and Mitro. Chase the keeper's defenders down, and we have scored a few goals by forcing mistakes. You're 100% correct. And also says this about Mitro, and I agree with this too. I think Mitro missed the fans and the interaction with them. Totally agree with that. And I think he's feeding off that. But I also think the work with the coaching staff, I think, is taking him to the next level. Yes, it's a combination. He missed the fans, but he's putting the work in. That, to me, is the difference in Mitro. And I'm not saying he didn't do it with Parker. I just don't know if they were on the same page. It's obvious they're on the same page here.
Yeah, and it's you know, when I looked at the coaching staff that Marco brought in, there was one. I mean, he kept on Stuart Gray, which is great.
Yeah,
you know, he's done a great job, and I like that. But there was one appointment that sort of, you know, piqued my curiosity.
I have a feeling I know where you're going to go, but go ahead.
Yeah, Antonios Lemonakis, because they worked together at Park Salonika in Greece, and it was a curious one. I remember, you know, thinking, oh, okay, this is interesting, but he has. When we talk about managers, you know, they grab their headlines, but you need to have someone who scouts the opposition, whatever. And I know that Lemonakis didn't just work for, you know, he worked for Paxos Salonika and Olympiakos Press. He played. He did analysis work for AEK Athens. So well versed in the Greek top league, and he had a really big reputation in terms of. A real devil in the detail in terms of the teams that the Greek teams were playing. So
right.
when they had the walkthroughs the day before the games, like Fulham would have, he would sit down with the team and specifically talk. You know, they'd have an idea of who the lineups are going to be and say, okay, well, this is this player. This is how he works. This is where he is. his strengths and his weaknesses. This is how he works, plays at home versus when he plays on the road. And this is how he deals with slick grass versus wet conditions versus cold conditions versus warm conditions. And he got a big reputation. So when Silva brought him in and they'd worked together in Greece, I thought, well, this is interesting because he's now got a member of the staff who's going to really fill the players with information so that they don't just understand their role, but they understand the role of the team that they're playing. The only thing that they won't know is the lineup and the formation they might throw. But sometimes when you're playing against a player and you have that in-depth knowledge.
That's right.
As the game evolves, depending on conditions, depending on where the score goes, it is a real leg up. And I think, you know, he's put...
It's that edge, Giannis, that you're talking about. It's an edge. And I think that this coach you're talking about is giving the players, before they hit the pitch, an edge. And that to me, you know, and again, we've talked about this in other sports, it's winning the game, the match, before it's even played. It's preparation.
Yes.
And if their preparation is done and they are ready and it gets into this difficult time and a player knows that he has an advantage over another player from the information he has been given, that could be that edge. And that's why I'm glad that we're talking about the coaching staff, because they're doing a phenomenal job. They're putting the Fulham players in the best position to succeed, but they're also making them better. And I've always asked this question, and again, I'm not trying to slight Scott Parker, and some might take it that way, but I'm just saying, you see how many players have been getting better under Marco. I'm asking the same question. How many players actually improved over with Parker? And I don't think many did over the course of the season. It just never really materialized. I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I want to give Scott Parker credit. Total credit. They are right now, he deserves credit. Honestly, he does. But I'm glad Fulham have Marco Silva, because Marco Silva is getting the most out of these players, Giannis.
Yeah, and I don't think he's any less demanding than Scott Parker was, and I don't think he's any less tough on the players. I think Marco Silva is, but I think one thing that Silva's done is he's also allowing his coaching staff to work more independently, one-on-one with players, in terms of the roles and responsibilities. I don't think it's any accident that Sarri started playing as brilliantly as he did. I don't think,
crazy.
Yeah, and I mean that to me is no accident.
They've unlocked him. They've unlocked Niskins. Yes. Bobby Decker, Dover Reed. We're talking about Mitro. The list goes on and on of players that have made an impact. I'll even say Dennis Adoy.
Yeah.
Dennis.
Yep.
I think we're seeing Dennis's best form as a Fulham player. I could be wrong, but I think this is some of his best form. Forget about the last match, just in general.
Yep.
They're getting the most out of all these players. And it's not by accident. It's by hard work from the players, but it's also by the coaching staff. I'm glad that you mentioned that. But listen, Giannis, we do need to wrap it up. Before we go, give me your man of the match.
Oh, it's got to be Rhodey. It's got to be Rhodey. I mean, if he hadn't made that save, if he hadn't made that save from Clark Harris, I might have given it to Cabano because of the audacity of what he did with the cross. Because it really was. It was an utterly, utterly brilliant move. And that's why he's become one of the most... I mean, we talked about Wilson, we talked about Mitro, but Cabano's just off the charts right now.
Right.
But Rhodey, you know, and there's no disrespect to Gazzaniga. I didn't have a problem with Gazzaniga in net. I wasn't one of them calling, let's get him out and let's put Rhodey in. No. But I think it's great to have a 1-2 punch. I see Fabbri got a start for the under-23s.
I saw that.
Last night. And don't forget, our fourth keeper, Reece Porter. I don't think he's ever going to get a game. But let's not forget, he's on that profile if you go onto the FFC website.
Absolutely,
Rhodey was brilliant, and I can understand people feeling a little bit aggrieved. They're going to stay up. The problem that they're going to have is they have to adjust, and this again is the coaching staff. They have to adjust their mentality away from home, because what my friends say, they're miserable away from home. They're really not good. Whereas at home, they just look like a completely different team. Once they sort that out, I think they'll stay up. And Darren Ferguson is a legend there.
I want to give him full credit. I'm glad that you mentioned Darren Ferguson. I thought Darren, the only thing I will say in his I wasn't too crazy about some of the things he said in his presser, but he's entitled. He's entitled to his opinion. He totally is entitled to his opinion. But it, again, the most important thing for him is he's doing a very good job at Peterborough, and I don't think they're going to get relegated. I think they're going to be fine. And they deserve credit for what they did against Fulham. I know people don't say moral victories, but I'm just going to say that they should be proud. I'm talking about the Peterborough supporters of their team. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. One final thing, my friend. I just want to share this because we are talking a lot about Marco Silva. So I just want to share this comment. It says, happy players make good players. Take a bow, Marco. And just in general, I agree with that, but I also agree with that Marco's doing a very good job, and it's his entire coaching staff. I've been saying this, Giannis. I want to share this real quick. Fulham will win the league. I still believe this, Giannis. I still believe they will have enough to win the league. Now, if they don't win the league and get second, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk, honestly, because I just want them to win automatic promotion. But I think it could come. It's going to come down to the three teams. It will come down to the three teams. And right now, Scott Parker's team is in first. They deserve to be there. We'll see if they're going to be there by the end of the season, my friend.
Yeah, I think West Brom, I mean, they're 6 points behind us and we've got better goal difference. There's basically three games. Yep. I think the problem with West Brom is they need another striker. And I just when we played them at the Cottage, I thought they were toothless.
Yep, I agree.
I expected better, and I do like Valerian Mishmal. You know the sort of coach he was, because look at the mess. I mean, at Barnsley, they let Marcus Schott go because nothing was going right there. Yep. If they pick up a player, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but a former player on loan, Dwight Gale. We've talked about him before. If they pick up Dwight Gale in January, then I think they can make a shout, because I think Bournemouth, they lost to Preston. Preston can beat anyone because they're that sort of team.
Yep.
But, West Brom have the ability to be their best, but they're going to have to make a couple of signings. And I think they're okay at the back. They didn't play well against us. I think they've got an excellent keeper, but I just think they need a striker or two up front. They shouldn't be beating Hull City 1-0 to be, I mean, really, I mean, Hull are rank poor. They're going down. They need a little bit more firepower. Whereas we've got right now, where do we look to strengthen? I don't know. One thing I do know though is that Ruben Loftus-Cheek will never play for us again, and that I'm delighted at, because I just cringe at the thought of some of his performances last year, and yet Scotty kept playing him, like Javier kept playing him.
I just didn't understand it in the end, because again, it just didn't work. But I thought he would have come good at some point, yes, but he certainly did not. Okay.
I don't know what it was. I just don't think he was up for it. I don't think, whereas people like, players like Mario Lemina, who I thought.
He played for the shirt, I'll tell you that.
He definitely played for the shirt. But Loftus-Cheek was just, it was a gruesome signing. It was a disaster.
There's no denying that, my friend. Yeah. One final comment before we wrap up the show. I've just enjoyed talking to you. We could talk forever, but we do have to wrap this up. David Clark, I just hope that this international break doesn't hinder our winning run. David, I'm thinking the same thing, because it would be very Fulhamish if it did. But I'm looking at the matches coming up. It shouldn't hinder them, but only time will tell. I hope it doesn't, because there's an opportunity here to potentially strengthen Fulham's position coming out of the international break. There's a great opportunity to maybe increase their lead from second to third, and I hope that happens. Okay. Well, listen, we do have to wrap this up. I want to thank, as always, Giannis Chenez up in Canada. He always does a fantastic job. I always get a lot of positive comments. So we want more Giannis. I want more Giannis, but he's a busy man. But we do have to wrap this up. For Giannis Chenez, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are on. You've got your McDougat share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.